Like many persons of my generation, my first interaction with Moses was the DreamWorks film Prince of Egypt. The film is an adaptation of the Moses story, from him being born into persecution, being raised by the Pharaoh, and then delivering his fellow Hebrews from Egypt. It isn't always accurate with the Bible narrative, but the production had a lasting effect and impact on my 8-year-old self. I learned of a living God who loves his people and called a far from perfect individual to make this truth known to them. Perhaps the most powerful scene for me is when Moses comes across the burning bush. So before I begin my sermon, please forgive me for showing this 4-minute clip from the film. Thank you to the team. This is my view that today's reading, portrayed so powerfully in the clip that we've just watched, teaches us about our relationship with God. The passage is about God calling Moses to return to Egypt and deliver the Israelites from the arms of slavery, and to subsequently lead them to the promised land. However, it also teaches us much about the nature of God, the nature of the people that God calls, and the nature of what it is to be called by God. As a result, this reading, as it has done to so many a generation before us, can act as an inspiration to us all as we prepare to enter the new connectional year and reflect on our own calling from God. Firstly then, the nature of God. This is displayed in two ways. Firstly, through God appearing to Moses in the burning bush, and two, in the words the writer of Exodus uses to describe God. In appearing to Moses through the burning bush, God shows his imminence. In addressing Moses by name, God shows that he loves Moses and consequently us also. This is the beginning of God's direct intervention into the lives of the Israelite people as he battles to free them from slavery. However, God is completely like any other. When Moses asked to whom this voice speaking to him belongs to, God responds with the words, "I am who I am." The divine presence that Moses has come across in the burning bush is imminent, yes, but exists independently of creation. There need not be any adjectives used, for he is simply, "I am." Just as he is made known to himself to Moses through the burning bush, "I am" makes himself known through the plagues that come upon Egypt. As Christians, we encounter "I am" in the person of the Gospel of John, when the Gospel writer writes of Jesus exclaiming, "I am the Good Shepherd, I am the true vine," and so on. But when is it that we encounter the awesomeness of God in our daily lives? When is it that we are so moved that we take off our sandals as we enter into the presence of God? For some, this will be the experience of the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, God's presence is made known as through the bread and wine. For others, it may be standing on top of a hill and marveling at God's creation. Alternatively, it may be, as was for the woman who was regularly visited by the late Russian Orthodox Bishop Anthony Bloom in a retirement home, there in the silence, with only one lamp to light her room, God became known to her. So how the God who defines himself as "I am" is encountered in different ways for each of us, but what is common for each is that God is living amongst us, just as he was on the mountain with Moses or in the silent candlelit room. So having established the living God as we encountered him in various ways, we secondly turn to consider the person who is called Moses. Moses is a deeply flawed man. We assume that he has lived a life of luxury whilst his people have suffered at the hands of the Egyptians. He murdered an Egyptian god and he ran away, becoming an alien in a foreign land. He is a man that, in running away, has tried to forget the burdens instead of facing them head on. This sense of worthlessness that Moses is feeling comes ahead in the conversation he has with God at the burning bush. He questions God and doubts that Pharaoh will listen to him when he goes to meet him. God asks Moses to remove his sandals, for the ground he is standing on is holy ground. This is a sign of reverence from ancient times, practiced when one enters a holy place, and still is practiced today in Islam. However, there is also a second significance to God asking Moses to remove his sandals. As we've also already established, the Midianites, with whom Moses is now at home with, sees him as an outsider. He's therefore not at home in any community, whether it be Egypt or Midian. He only resides there. Taking off one's sandals is a gesture in many ancient communities when you enter into a home. Thus, Moses the alien, who is flawed in nature, removes his sandals and finds true home with God, who loves him despite his faults. This is the immeasurable nature of God's grace in action. God calls even the most flawed to be part of his kingdom, showing that even the heaviest of burdens cannot prevent us of being loved by God. God invites us to remove our sandals, thus leaving all our doubts, worries, and regrets behind as we are called by him. Too often in our society today, moderate views are being polarized. We are expected to conform to a popular movement, shun for disagreeing with what the other is saying, and in what has been termed the cancel culture, we are encouraged by social media to support cancelling or withdrawing of support for public figures of whom others find offensive. Complex historical narratives are turned into the simple question of whether a monument should stand or not, or whether words should be sung at the last night of the proms. As a church, we should take great hope in the person of Moses, who was called, despite his faults, to carry out the works of God. There is no membership required to be part of God's kingdom. And within this kingdom, there will be many different types of people, even people of whom we disagree with. We come to God with all our flaws, and he simply asks us to remove our sandals as we arrive home. Thirdly and finally, due to the immeasurable nature of God's grace, we may be called. All of us may be called. Moses' call is exigent and calls us and him to call out of his comfort zone. Despite God confirming that he is the God of Moses' ancestors, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Moses doubts his ability and attempts to convince God that he is not the right person for the job. He argues with God, saying that they will not listen to him and he is not eloquent enough. However, just as the unlikeliness of Moses' character can offer us hope when we contemplate our own calling, Moses' doubts can offer us hope in responding to our own calling? How many times have we in our lives started something new or being asked to do something we feel is beyond our capabilities? We may even feel that we have put something off that we feel called to do out of fear of failure. Sam Wells, the vicar of St. Martin's in the Fields, writes that from our baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and thus begin our ministry that helps us build up the body that is the church. This doesn't necessarily have to be ordained ministry, but can refer to many different types of calling. He defines three types of calling. The first one requires you to come just as you are, as they do not ask you to have certain gifts or skills. These enable accessibility and shared humility. This can include serving coffee after church, tidying up chairs, or being on a cleaning rotor during a pandemic. There are the ones that require certain skills, so this is our second calling, such as dealing with the accounts or listening to the troubled. These ensure competence and require experience. And thirdly, there are those that the person is called to do which he or she has never imagined doing. They involve risk but allow spiritual and communal transformation. Moses's call obviously falls into the third, as it involves risk. Isn't this what Jesus means when he says that a disciple should be prepared to carry the cross? In light of this, we may be reflected where we fall into the categories of our calling, our roles, jobs, or vocations. Where did they fall under? They will, of course, take many different forms, but what is important is the contribution that we make to the life of the church and to others. As we approach the new connectional year and renew or even declare our covenant with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, there will be many of us who will be feeling apprehensive. The future seems unclear. Church will seem very different when we return, and we are facing an economic recession. For these reasons and many more, the calling that once seemed so clear may be covered in doubt. I'm reminded of a time that I took on the role as head of year at my school about 18 months ago. I would be lying if I said I wasn't apprehensive in taking on the role halfway through the academic year. However, when I told a member of this congregation, who I will not name out of respect, about the new role, they told me simply that it sounded like a calling. Sometimes it takes the risk, the wisdom of someone else to remind us of our calling, of what God calls us to do. And like all callings, as was the case of Moses, even in our doubts, God is with us. So let us take great hope in the story of Moses. For as he reassures Moses at the burning bush, the being that calls himself I Am still calls us, despite our faults, into the bold and exciting adventure that is faith. God loves us, and God is with us from this day forward and forevermore. Amen.